behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, and welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott.
And I am Ben. As always, we are here with Noel, Gone in 60 Seconds Brown.
I like it.
Yeah, he's in addition to being our super producer, he's a man of many names.
Gone in 60 Seconds. That's a perfect nickname for today's episode.
Mm-hmm. It's not the worst film, either.
No, it's actually pretty, and the original and the remake, I think. Mm-hmm. A lot of people do not like the remake, but each his own again. I think I like both.
I like both for what they are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't compare them that well, that often.
A dramatically different feel to both of
for
them.
For sure.
Yeah. I got to say, you know what? Just now that we're talking about all this, I think, once I start watching even a minute clip of the original, I feel like I got to watch more of the original.
Mm-hmm.
But the same is not true of the remake. So if I watch a minute of it or so, I don't feel like I have to watch more of that one. And maybe that says something. I don't know.
That does say something. Well, also, just given the age of the original, when did that come out? Original?
Oh man, early 70s, I think.
Yeah. Even in the early 70s, you know, the use of editing, right? The editing techniques and the use of music were so very different in comparison to the modern use.
Yeah,
you know?
And knowing what we know about that film and that it was the director that was driving and all the crashes
yeah.
and some of the horrific things that he went through to make that happen.
Yeah, he's a wild man.
Oh man, we're way off track and it all came from a nickname. Man.
Yeah, we went from 0 to 60 real quick on those tangents. but this brings us to today's episode, which, like many of our favorite topics, was inspired by a listener mail.
Yeah, an oddly specific listener mail, as you pointed out earlier today, right?
Yes, sir.
We were talking about this from, it's a listener mail that we read in, I think it was in a Nuts and Bolts episode
mm-hmm.
recently.
And
we said that we'd get to this topic, and here we are. It was from Phil C, and Phil C wrote in, originally he wrote in about seeing a Cadillac ELR out on the street, so the electric Cadillac.
Right, yeah.
And had mentioned, you know, that he saw one and wasn't, I think we laughed about this even the first time.
Also said, can I do the quote?
Oh, of course.
Didn't know people were so inclined to throw money away.
Yes, because we were laughing about how it's a Chevy Volt wrapped
right.
in Cadillac skin.
Yeah.
With a lot
yeah.
of bells and whistles that the Volt doesn't have, I understand, but... he's right. It's a very, very expensive car, and it's really small when you see it. It's kind of shocking.
It's
but beautiful.
Two-door.
It is a beautiful car, though. So his topic suggestion actually comes from a P.S. to that note. He wrote, P.S., love the top 10 list. How about an episode on the top 10 fastest 0 to 60 new cars under $30,000?
Mm-hmm. Under $30,000.
And that's the catch right there. That's the rub.
Yeah, that's the part that got our interest because it makes it way more complicated. If you have, or a little more complicated, more interesting is a better word, Scott, because if you have all of the theoretical money in the world, then it's not very difficult to find cars with just obscene 0 to 60 times, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But this puts it a little bit more in the bounds of realism for quite a few people.
Yeah, in fact, it brings it down below the average price of a sedan, I believe. And
right.
you know, when we limit this to under $30,000, and honestly, I was kind of surprised by the list. There's a lot of really nice cars on the under $30,000 list that are quick in this 0 to 60 sprint.
Sure.
And I think that, I don't know, you want to do this beforehand or after? Probably let's do it after, where we talk about maybe the reasons why 0 to 60 isn't maybe the measurement that you really want to use to measure a car's performance.
Mm-hmm.
There's another one that might be a better gauge of that if you want kind of like a real-world gauge of performance. And we can also talk about, you know, why that's important. Why manufacturers are slanting it this way. So 0 to 60 has long been a measurement that we've used to measure cars' performance. And it comes from, you know, very, I don't know, I guess the best way to put it would be like not secluded, but closed test track situations where they're in very much in control of the situation.
Yeah, controlled conditions.
Yeah, very controlled conditions with drivers that are highly skilled. You know what, we're probably getting too much into the weeds here on this already. So this list that we're going to read comes from a site, because they've already compiled the vehicles. You and I don't get to get out and drive cars. We don't review cars. We don't sell cars or anything like that. Sure. So we get to, you know, kind of go through these lists and kind of have fun with what they report on.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, they actually had done this list for us, really. It's a 10 of the fastest cars under $30,000. And it's from autobuytel.com, and it was written in 2015, so it's current. All these models will be 2015 models. Mm-hmm. The thing is, the list isn't a, you know, 10 through 1, you know, 10 countdown to the fastest vehicle.
Right. It's not like a Leno list or something.
No, exactly. But I have I've taken the time to go through and do that so that I can put them in 1 through 10 order later, maybe after we read through all these. So we'll just go through the list.
Sure.
And here's some quick ones, and they'll get faster, and they'll get a little slower, and a little faster, a little slower.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll go back at the end and tell you which one was the fastest, just in case you weren't paying attention.
The top one, Phil.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's go ahead and start off. Now, as we're getting into this, we'll go ahead and say that this year brings us to some very interesting tipping points in automotive stuff overall. The price of a sedan has continually increased, right? Mm-hmm. So what we're looking at, although 30,000 has long been kind of this rule of thumb idea for like, that's a sedan price.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much the case anymore. But the other thing that's changing will be the vast array of technology that's enabling cars that ordinarily wouldn't perform to, okay, spoiler alert. We'll get there.
Yeah.
The list. I'm getting too far ahead. All right. So, we start out in no particular order, which I kind of liked, Scott, with the 2015 Ford Mustang.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll just call this number one on the list, I guess. But
sure.
But the 2015 Mustang, the MSRP on that, and I looked this up for every one of these, and of course it depends on the equipment that you include. So I'm going to say from, you know, the MSRP is from this number every single time. So it's from about 23.8 for the coupe and from about 29.3 for the convertible. So you can still get the convertible under $30,000. And we're talking about the base trim, you know, base trim Mustang in this case. And you have two engines available under $30,000.
Mm-hmm.
One is the 2.3 liter inline four cylinder EcoBoost engine that has about 310 horsepower and the all important 320 pound feet of torque.
Mm-hmm.
For what we're talking about. Torque is critical.
Right. And then you've got the 3.7 V6 that has 300 horsepower, but 280 pound torque.
Pound torque. Now, the curious thing about this is that both of them, and they don't give a specific speed for this, but these do come in, again, on the top 10 of their fastest cars for under 30,000.
Mm-hmm.
The speed that you get up to, the time, I guess, that you get up to 60 miles per hour in both of those cars, you know, either engine option, is under 6 seconds.
Yeah.
And that's moving along pretty good.
Yeah, that's no joke.
And I'll be honest, I mean, really, 300 to 310 horsepower out of a base engine, you know, a model's base trim,
yeah,
that's not bad. And there's a bunch of them on the list that are like that. You know, when we get to the Camaro and
right.
Some of the other vehicles we'll talk about, is they're really, really high horsepower out of a relatively low level vehicle. It's not like their top of the line model.
Sure. Yeah. Not a flagship, but also you can still get the performance package on that without breaking the 30K threshold.
Oh, nice. Right, so that's probably if you go with the 23.8 coupe.
Right.
Option.
Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, bigger brakes, better tires, shorter ratio for the gears. But let's go ahead and move on to the next one.
Yeah, what we'll call number two on the list. And number two would be the 2015 Volkswagen GTI. I don't think this is a surprise, really, to make this list.
No.
This one would probably make the top 10 list for the last several years, if not last decade. It's always a performer. And the MSRP is from $25,385 on this one. Around 210 to 220 horsepower. Of course, we're not talking about the R version here. We're talking about just the, well, if you can say just in this case.
Right.
But any GTI is a good GTI.
The regular.
Yeah.
Classic signature
exactly
GTI.
Exactly right. We're talking about a 2 liter turbocharged four cylinder engine, about 210 horsepower, 258 pound feet of torque. And if you get the 6 speed manual in the GTI, you can get from 0 to 60 in about 5.8 seconds. So we've already improved on our list here.
Yeah.
5.8. Pretty good.
Yeah. And then we also know, as you said, this is a returning champ, so it'll probably be back next year.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. All right, Ben. So let's move on to number three in our list.
I've got a proposition for you here.
Okay.
All right. What about skipping number three and going to number four?
Oh, why would we do that? Is it insanely fast?
it's pretty fast. It's just, it might be in our best interest for just the flow of the show to put number three maybe toward the end.
Oh, I see. Maybe in the last spot because it's, let's do that. How about that? We'll skip number three. We'll do number four. We'll come back to number three as our number one pick.
Yeah.
How about that?
All right.
And that way we'll kind of, it's like a cliffhanger.
It's a
Car Stuff cliffhanger.
So number three is TBA.
Sort of, but we're not going to make you wait for another episode.
Don't worry about that.
So let's move on to number four on the list. Number four, and this is a strong performer as well.
Yeah.
This is the 2015 Chevrolet Camaro, and of course we're talking about the base Camaro.
Right.
And
It still looks so good. 323 horsepower, 3.6 V6 engine, 278 pound-feet of torque, so just short of 280.
Yep.
Yeah, I think this is a great one. It's 0 to 60 is just under 6 seconds. It's 5.9.
5.9 seconds. That's quick. And you know what? 323 horsepower out of a base engine, you know, a base model engine.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's really a great offering from Chevrolet for that. And you know what? From $23,705 for the coupe, if you go to the convertible version, it pushes it just over the $30,000 mark. So you're stuck with a coupe if you want to go with the under $30,000
mark
on this one. But still, man, that's amazing. That's really cool that they're offering a strong V6 like that for that price.
Now again, Phil and listeners who are in this market, ask yourself about your price range because it's just like any other big investment. Sometimes people go a little over their price range.
Yeah. See, we have the sneaking suspicion that Phil is in the market for a car, and that's why he asked for this topic. So
we talked about this. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. We get a lot of requests from listeners along the way. In fact, you and I, sometimes we gear our podcast topics towards something like that if we're interested in a vehicle. So, it's totally understandable. That's exactly what we're here for. And you know what? It's interesting to everybody else, I think, as well in our audience.
Because, here's hoping.
You think that, when you hear numbers like that, when you hear like under 30,000, that seems like that's somewhat affordable these days, oddly enough, to buy a car for under $30,000. And if you want some level of performance for that as well, this is the list. So, let's move on to number five.
Ah, yes. The 2015 Hyundai Genesis Coupe 3.8 R spec.
Yeah. This is a strong performer as well.
Oh, yeah.
It's right below the threshold, though.
Just barely.
The MSRP is $29,500.
So with tax, that probably is going to push it over.
Well, probably, but you know what? We're going with under 30,000 MSRP. So,
so
that's it. I mean, you can't calculate tax and tags and titles and all that stuff, in this. So it would just, cause
right.
That's so expensive.
Yeah.
All right. So this 3.8 R spec version, has, of course, it's a V6 engine,
mm-hmm.
348 horsepower and 295 pound-feet of torque. And it has a 6-speed manual transmission, Brembo brakes, limited slip differential. Of course, it has the sport seats, performance suspension.
Yeah.
This is a quick 0 to 60 as well, but it's still not the number one on our list. This one comes in at 5.3 seconds. That's fast.
Yeah, we're getting to some numbers that are just out and out surprising for an under $30,000 car.
It really is. I mean, that is quick for a 0 to 60 sprint. And, I think, and maybe we'll talk about this a little later too, but I mean, realistically, anything mm-hmm. around 8 seconds, real world,
yeah.
I mean, that feels fast. If you get down to six, that feels really fast. When you get below six, this is really moving along. I mean, this is a sports car for 29.5, really.
That's a really good way to say it. When you get sub 6 seconds for that 0 to 60, it's the kind of car that if someone doesn't like sports cars or something, they get uncomfortable driving. You know what I mean? Because you just tap the gas and all of a sudden, vroom.
Yeah, you just twitch your foot on the pedal there and it takes off. All right. So, later we'll talk about real world and some of the numbers I just mentioned are critical.
Eight seconds and why
that's important. I mean, it's just a safe zone for most drivers. But let's move on to number six on our list here. And this is the 2015 Mitsubishi Lancer Rally Art. Specifically that model. And the price is, again, just under the $30,000. It comes in at $29,495.
Right. So if money is a pretty big issue, you can save $5 over the Hyundai. The thing about this is that this is more like the, maybe the entry level in comparison to the Lancer Evolution.
Mm-hmm.
This
four doors.
Four doors, yeah. It's got a turbocharged four-cylinder motor, 237 horsepower, 253 pound-feet of torque. And this is sold only with a six-speed dual-clutch automated manual. But the number we're all waiting for, of course, 0 to 60 in 5.8 seconds.
Yeah, you know, I've got to say I like the looks of the Lancer. I see a bunch of them around town.
Yeah.
And usually they're lowered and they've got wide tires on them. And some of them are stance cars. Some of them aren't.
Yeah.
But they usually have, you know, some body add-ons. They have these little – this model in particular, I see a lot of this. People like to put these little wind strip things on it. I don't know if the factory's doing this or if this is something that kind of the Lancer fanboys are doing. And I say fanboys in a loving way. I don't mean that in a bad way. But
all due respect.
Yeah.
All due respect.
You know what I mean. They put these little baffles on the wings. I don't know what I don't know what better to call them, but it's like if they line the spoilers or, you know, parts of the exterior of the car with these, and it's almost like a little tiny diffuser. But it's very, very small, and it's almost like something that would be adhered with an adhesive strip.
Mm-hmm.
And I see them all over these cars all the time. And again, I don't know if it's a factory thing or not. I haven't really dug into it. But it must do something. It must disturb the air in a way that proves beneficial to the Lancer driver for some mm-hmm. reason, because that's the only car that I've ever seen that on, and I see it often.
So it's strange, because I also see a lot of these in heavily modded versions here in Atlanta. And I don't know if that's exclusive to this region, but
might be. I don't know. You know, it just comes down to, is it a good car to drive in the climate that we have, I suppose, because mm-hmm. if you're driving something like that up in, you know, Wisconsin or Minnesota or Michigan or any of those, you know, colder climates where you're going to have snow and ice to deal with,
mm-hmm.
maybe not the best choice. I mean,
right.
but
that's true.
Who knows? I mean, you find a little bit of everything everywhere. So
mm-hmm.
again, to each his own, Ben.
To each his own. Mm-hmm. And this brings us to number 7 on our list.
Yeah, number 7 is the Scion FRS. And I particularly like this car. I really like it a lot because I see it on the road every day. I see a bunch of them.
Yeah. You know,
different colors, different mods, mm-hmm. different, I guess probably different, trim levels, I suppose, too. We see the TRD versions. We see the Subaru version of the same car often as well.
Mm-hmm.
I like that as well. But the MSRP is, again, Nick, you know what? The MSRP is reasonable. It's $24,900 for this car.
Right. So it's a lot more reasonable in comparison to some of the other vehicles, right? But
yeah.
But what do you get for it?
Well, you get quite a bit. You get a 2-liter, 200 horsepower, 4-cylinder engine. And it has this is maybe not the best part.
Mm-hmm.
151 pound-feet of torque. And that is critical right there. As we've said, you know, with many of these other cars that are in the 5-second range,
mm-hmm.
This one makes it quite a bit slower, 6.4 seconds, 0 to 60. So it's not the fastest 0 to 60, but the reason it makes the list here is because this car is a monster in the corners. It's really, really well-handled vehicle.
Right, yeah, yeah, because the chassis itself is streets ahead of so many other groups. I like the way it's been described as almost telepathic handling.
Yeah, I guess it has a better feeling in the turns and the twisties, you know?
Right.
And for that, people say, well, this car is kind of a better balance than maybe just a fast 0 to 60 sprint. Sure, you can, you know, you can walk me on the straights, but as soon as you get into the corners, that's where the Scion FRS stands out.
Right, yeah. The agility means that it doesn't have to slow down or play as safe
mm-hmm.
on the corners.
Now here, I'm going to disqualify this one, Ben.
You're going to disqualify? I thought you might.
I am, and the reason is because when I looked at the, it's not for the reason you think. I looked up the MSRP on this car,
uh-huh.
and it has been bumped above the 30,000 threshold.
So
that's the reason. We're gonna mention it, but we're not gonna go into any detail because it was on the list. It's now off of the list officially.
Let's consider it honorably discharged. Ladies and gentlemen, formerly number 8, the 2015 Subaru Forester XT. I know what you're thinking. Ben, is that an SUV? Yes, my friends. It's an SUV that can go from 0 to 60 in 6.3 seconds.
So it had the numbers, but guess what? When you get down to the MSRP for the 2015 model, and I just looked it up.
Yeah, what is it?
$33,095. So that does put it well above the $30,000 threshold. I don't know why it was on this list. There must have been some kind of type of pricing discrepancy between the 2014, 2015. They included it on the list. Sorry, Subaru. That one is off the list, but and sorry, Phil.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to look elsewhere other than the Forester I doubt he was looking for it for an SUV anyways.
How the mighty have fallen, well, Subaru Forester. Yeah.
Maybe they'll redeem themselves.
Perhaps they will.
Maybe.
Perhaps they will. Never say never.
Maybe. A little foreshadowing. Right, so number nine on our list. Number nine, the Kia Optima SX Turbo. And, I got to be honest, Ben, surprised me.
This surprised me, too, you know, because Kia has really been working assiduously to, I'll be candid, to up the quality of their brand since they first came out in the States. And what they have here is deceptively well done.
Well, you know what? I've seen a few of these in our parking structure. I've seen a few of them on the road. It's kind of a head turner. It's a sedan. It's a four-door vehicle. So, you know, if you're not into that kind of thing, you're not really going to be looking at this.
Right.
But if you see a Kia Optima SX Turbo on the road, it's kind of a sharp car. It's a good-looking vehicle. It's 27.7 is the starting MSRP. And for that, you get 274 horsepower, 269 pound-feet of torque. It's a 2-liter turbocharged engine. Again, fast 0 to 60 time. Relatively fast. I mean, because it's a bigger vehicle.
Sure.
6.5 seconds, which is respectable for a four-door vehicle. And now, I guess what I mean, Ben, just to clarify, is that the Scion looks like a fast, racy car. It looks like a sports car. You know, low, quick. This is a sedan. It's a four-door vehicle. It's a little more upright than the Scion was. You just don't expect it out of this one. So I'm not going to say it's a sleeper by any means, but it's a relatively quick sedan.
Well, then you're going to love the next on our list, Scott, and I do mean that sarcastically, the 2015 Ford Focus ST.
Oh, come on. Let's not pick on this one. This is the ST version.
Yeah, okay.
Which is critical.
Right, that's critical. It's not your average Ford Focus. So it's around 25 grand.
Yeah.
But you do get some bang for your buck there. You get a 2-liter turbo four-cylinder drivetrain, so that's 252 horsepower, 270 pound-feet of torque, 6-speed manual, and for all that, you get 0 to 60 in 6.6 seconds.
Ah, see. Okay, now that's 0.1 seconds slower than the Kia that we just talked about.
I'm just busting your chops for the looks like a sports car stuff.
Well, I understand. But you know what? This one, this is the small, like a utility type vehicle.
Got the hatchback.
It's a bit of an economy looking type car, but you got to remember it's the ST version. I don't know. I still like the looks of this vehicle. I still enjoy seeing these on the road.
Mm-hmm. So, okay. All right. Are you saying that you don't enjoy seeing the Kia on the road?
No. I'm saying the others are fine, but I like the looks of this one. It has the appearance almost like my previous vehicle, and it has a similar shape, similar look to it. You got to admit, when you look at that, it looks an awful lot like my Honda from 2005.
It's got some similarities, for sure.
And that's not bad. I mean, the small hatchback design, you and I both love that design anyways.
Yeah.
It seems that this is a reasonable choice. And it, you know, at 6.6 seconds, that's still not bad. It's not shabby.
Not bad.
Not fantastic, but it's not bad. Now, one that is fantastic is the one that we have saved. We're going to go back to on our list here.
We saved
it for number one.
Yes. Noel, we need some drums, please. Something real dramatic. The fastest 0 to 60 mile per hour time for car under $30,000 goes to
the 2015 Subaru WRX, and I don't think this will be a surprise to anybody. This is a quick car. Now, maybe the price will come as a surprise, because the price, the MSRP, is $26,295, and we're talking about, again, the four-door sedan version of this vehicle, not the hatchback version, which I think a lot of people, you know, sorely miss. I want to say it was 2014 when that was last available here in the States. Elsewhere, I believe it's still available, but we're talking about the four-door. Right around 268 horsepower, 258 pound-feet of torque. Again, 2-liter turbocharged four-cylinder engine, 6-speed manual transmission. What do we want to say about this, Ben? What else can we say about this? Because it sounds amazing on the road. I mean, they really do sound incredible. Subaru at speed sounds incredible with its Boxster engine.
Yeah, all I would say is that they're, I don't know if I can. Can I say badass on the air? They're badass cars.
We've said it many times. Yeah, sure.
Okay. I always check, though, yeah. Just in case.
I know you do. Yeah, yeah. Just in case. Maybe things have changed, but we haven't even told them the 0-60 time yet. So the 0-60 time, and this is really important because this is head and shoulders above every other one on our list.
For sure.
5 seconds.
5 seconds.
5 seconds flat. And that's for 26,295. That's really not bad at all. And I mean, overall, I really like the package of this vehicle. I mean, I love the WRX. I always have. I like the hatchback version better than the sedan. I got to give you that. But
for sure.
But this is a pretty good choice.
And there, Phil, is an answer that we hope satisfies you. However, this answer led us to investigate something else, and we think it's very important to make this point.
Yeah, you know, can I do one quick thing before we talk about that, though? Because that's an important point we have to make. It really is. But I told you I was going to give you the list 1 through 10 just so that it kind of clear things up.
Oh, I totally forgot, yes.
We can do it kind of quick. And that way, you know, for somebody who wasn't paying attention, they can pick it up here. All right, so there are a couple of ties here. I want to tell you that there are actually 8 spots out of 10 cars because there were 2 ties, one for third and one for fourth place because, you know, exact same seconds.
Yeah.
Of course, we mentioned number 1 was the Subaru WRX at 5 seconds. Number 2 was the Hyundai Genesis at 5.3 seconds. Number 3 is our first tie. That was the Lancer from Mitsubishi, you know, the Rally Art version, right?
Yeah.
For 5.8 seconds and the GTI, which is also 5.8 seconds. And number 4 was also a tie, and that's the Mustang, both versions, which were, listed as under 6 seconds. So I'm going to give them that tie with the next one, which was, the Camaro at 5.9. I'm assuming that the Mustangs are right around 5.9.
Hmm.
So the Camaro base comes in at 5.9.
Tough, but fair.
Number 5, yeah, you know, number 5 was the one that we disqualified, so you know what, I can cross that right off. I didn't have the price at that point, but that was a Subaru Forester XT at 6.3. Number 6 was the Scion FRS at 6.4. Number 7 was the Kia Optima SX Turbo at 6.5 seconds, and number 8 was the Ford Focus ST at 6.6. So, again, Subaru stand out there with 5 seconds 0 to 60 time.
Head and shoulders.
But is really, I mean, truthfully, Ben, is that 0 to 60 something that we should be concerned about in the real world?
You know, once upon a time, it was, even though these metrics were derived at racetracks under controlled conditions.
And still are.
Things have changed a little bit due to some technological advances.
Yes, for sure. And we're talking specifically about launch control. And launch control is what makes a car really, really fast from 0 to 60. And it's helpful in other ways. I understand that. But launch control, just in case you don't quite understand what it means, it's something that's really come about predominantly in the last 5 years. It's been developed, you know, long before that.
Sure.
There were some trial and error type, you know, situations with this along the way. But in the last 5 years, there's a lot of vehicles that have this in place now. It's cars that, you know, are just daily driver type vehicles. And launch control systems make a car faster, 0 to 60, than they are from, say, 5 miles per hour to 60 miles per hour. And that's critical because how it works is that the electronic system adjusts the output, the power output, to the wheels.
Right.
And everything. We're talking about the fuel, everything.
Comprehensively. It's software.
Yeah, it's software that allows your vehicle to quickly accelerate from 0 to its, you know, intended top speed. If you mash the throttle down, instead of just spinning the wheels, it's going to smoothly accelerate you away from the line, you know, with a launch control system turned on. And it's going to know, it's going to kind of,
anticipate.
Yeah. It modulates, you know, that wheel speed. And I'm getting tripped up on this here, but what it does is it modulates the wheel speed to a point where there's no slippage. And that's important because if you're just going to spin your tires, the speedometer is going to go up to 60 quick because your wheels are spinning that fast, but the car is not actually going to be moving at 60 miles per hour.
It optimizes the reaction that all the other parts of the car system have with one another, all the parts of the drivetrain. So the engine's not going to fail because of over revving. The clutch and the gearbox aren't going to go all Judas on you. It eliminates some of the error that can happen when you tell all these different systems to just run. But why? Okay. If that's the case, then, right? Oh, and there's some really interesting stuff about the history, just real quick. It starts with Renault, way back in the day, the trial and error, right?
Yeah, Formula One, right?
Yeah. Cause they would store information on a disc and then they would unload it at the pit so engineers could see what the car was doing.
This is pre-telemetry days, right?
And then later telemetry allowed it to go over radio, but before they were just using these discs and they were saying, okay, what do we have to modify?
I wonder if you could still call that telemetry. Maybe telemetry is just the term used for when it's wireless.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure how that all works out. Cause I know for a while I've seen, race car teams, when the car pulls in the pits, they would plug into the vehicle. They would use a cord you'd plug in a camera or whatever to your computer. You would plug in a cord and then that would communicate with a laptop that they had. But I don't think they even need that cord anymore. I think it's all wireless at this point.
I think telemetry is more, and check me out if I'm wrong on this, listeners, more an umbrella term for that kind of wireless stuff, right?
So even that early day stuff might have been called telemetry, but they didn't know what to call it at that point.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. What's the etymology of the term? But they, but it sounds like it comes from the Greek, but the, that's neither here nor there.
It's not really important.
No, not for this, not for this one. But this is the question, right? What about this optimization makes the 0 to 60 number deceptive? What makes the 5 to 60 number different?
All right. Well, so here the 5 to 60 is more of a real world situation versus the 0 to 60, because it's very rare when you are at a dead stop and you've got the revs really high and then you just dump the clutch and try to take off and get up to 60 as quickly as you
can.
Right.
Agreed.
It really doesn't happen all that often, and only in a situation where you're maybe you're at a stoplight and you want to show off to somebody. Fine, I understand that, but it happens. You shouldn't do it probably, but anyways, it happens. Yeah. Or you're at an actual racetrack. And you want it to perform that way. Or, on your own, you're out in a parking lot somewhere and you just want to see what your car does. That's another situation. But it rarely happens when you want to do a fast 0 to 60 sprint without spinning the tires, just try to get a fastest speed. Mm-hmm. That really doesn't happen. What normally happens is, and even if you're unconsciously doing this, the car is actually rolling a little bit when you accelerate typically. Like, let's say that you're on an on-ramp and you just come around a right-hand turn to enter the on-ramp that, then circles onto the highway. You're usually going pretty slow. I mean, I'm going to say, okay, 5 is what they give normally. And, these tests are doing 5 to 60, which ends up being slower than 0 to 60. But let's say that you're going 10 miles an hour and you roll around the corner, maybe 10 to 12 miles an hour. You roll around the corner and then you start to pick up speed on that ramp. Your car is going to be slower getting from 5 miles per hour, let's say 10, up to 60, than it would be from 0 to 60. It's far more common for you to be rolling already and then need that acceleration than it is to be at a dead stop and need to go immediately.
Not warp nine.
Yeah, not
whatever.
Top speed, but 60 or above.
Sure.
So some of these magazines have been doing this for years and years. And if you go back and look at Road and Track, Car and Driver, any of those magazines, look at their comparison tests or, just the reviews of cars. They'll not only do a 0 to 60 run and a quarter mile run and all the standard stuff that they normally do. They will also do a 5 to 60. They'll also do sometimes a 30 to 50, a 50 to 70. So that's all important. And they realize that, that's important because that like 50 to 70 would be passing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important to know that if your car is capable of passing that, that semi that's ahead of you, or it's important to know that, when you're merging on the highway, which is where the 5 to 60 comes in, really.
Mm-hmm.
That 5 to 60 number is critical because that really gives you kind of the real-world idea of what your vehicle is going to do in traffic. So when you're in downtown, merging situations, how much confidence do you have in your car that you can get up to speed quickly, you can get into the traffic, you can maneuver it the way you need to? And 60 is being, generous in this case because typically you need to go up to 70, 75, it seems like. It seems like a lot of people are going a lot faster now on the main highways, even through a busy downtown like what we have in Atlanta.
Well, what I like to do is kind of take the, whenever this is the approach I take when I'm getting on the interstate, I do the Sunday driver and kind of like putter down the ramp. And then right when I get to where it's about to connect to the interstate, then I pull off to the side, come to a full stop. And then I chug a 5-hour energy drink and then I just slam on the gas. I can get that 0 to 60 time.
That's wise.
Thanks.
That's a great thing to do. Yeah, I'm sure that doesn't disrupt traffic in any way or anything.
No, the police love me.
There's nothing illegal about that. Now that I think about it, really.
I honestly, of course, guys, I don't do things like that.
I can kind of picture you doing that maybe once or twice, just to see what happens.
Why? That's ridiculous.
Just to see what happens.
You know, I used to, until my girlfriend got very upset with me about it, I used to be one of those people who always stopped to check on motorists, because we have a thing here in Atlanta called HERO, where, you know, it's a roadside assistance vehicle that travels around the city.
Free service.
A free service.
Well,
yeah.
Free to motorists. It's not, you know, you're paying for it through taxes and all that, but still, it's a free service and, you know, it's a big vehicle. Looks like a paramedics van or something.
Yeah, like a yellow ambulance.
Yeah.
And it's helpful to people. But before that, I used to always stop because, you know, you never know what kind of situation a person's in. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes it's just something very small. Like oftentimes they might have just run out of gas, they got a flat, but they don't have the stuff to fix it, which happens more than it should.
Car that's overheating, something like that.
Right,
or,
right.
Or whatever the situation, or maybe they don't understand what's going on, and maybe you do. You know that you can just tell them it's not really a big deal if you know the engine light is on, but not flashing.
Oh, right. Well,
you know, you can go the extra mile and get to the gas station and have it checked out if you want.
Yeah, there have also been some other times where I've said, oh, yeah, no, this is, oof.
Yeah.
We have to get a belt. I'll drive you to the gas station. And good luck to you, sir.
I got to say, Ben, I mean, that's nice that you stop and help people out. I've done that in the past. And recently, I've done it less and less. And I don't like to admit that, but I have done it less and less. And the reason is, that, quite frankly, you just hear some of the bad stuff that happens.
Right. You hear people making, using the appearance of a stranded motorist as a trap for crime.
Yeah. And, you know, that, okay. Again, this is really tough to put into words, I guess, in order to differentiate between when you should and when you shouldn't do that. But mm-hmm. there are times when I feel confident that, yeah, this is something that I can help this person out with, you know, or I can pull over and be safe in this situation.
Right.
Other times, look, and I say, no way. I'm not getting involved in that at all. It's really tough to figure out which is which, but you have to make just a gut decision almost right away too, because you're passing at, you know, 60 or 70 miles an hour. You have mm-hmm. to decide quickly what you're going to do.
Yeah, and that's another thing too. It's like the time investment of stopping, going, just talking about going to a full stop on the side of the highway is what reminded me of that. And that's such a tangent, you know. And also, it changed a lot when I was living in a city, because where I, you know, a lot of my formative years were spent in a more rural environment, you know, and then a suburban environment.
Sure. So you see someone broken down, and it may be someone that you're familiar with in town. You don't know them, but you've seen them over the last 10 years.
Yeah. Or it's just a road where you might be the only other car coming for the next 4 hours. And so I want to stop and,
you know, I totally understand what you're saying. And it's getting more and more difficult to be a good citizen in that situation.
It is
but you're
true.
Right. You're right. That HERO program. And I think that's in place in a lot of cities, a lot of major cities now. It's just a quick cell phone call away. And there are signs on the side of the road that indicate, you know, what number to call in your city to do that. But it's a great service. And again, if you need a gallon of gas, you need an air, you know, mm-hmm. a tire changed, some air in the tire, whatever. They're right there for you.
Now, don't rely on them. They're not there to give you free gas. They're there to help people who need help.
I wonder how often that happens. But, you know, it seems like a lot of trouble to go through to get 1 gallon of
gas. Scott, I was going to say, not even me, man. Even I wouldn't do that. But sorry, this sounds like we're verging almost into a different show at this point. But pardon the tangents, you guys. Phil, we hope that we answer your question. We'd like to hear what car would be your favorite of the ones we named to drive, not counting the disqualified one.
Yeah. And also keep in mind the $30,000 price. That was critical for Phil in his email. And, you know, when you nudge just a little bit above that, it's a different ballgame. There's a few you know, just below the 35 threshold.
You get some heavy hitters.
Yeah, but then, yeah, well, then you're going to spend 35. You might as well spend 40. Why not? You know, you could finance that, right?
Right.
And if you're going to go 50, let's just make it an even round.
At 50, just make it even.
Make it an even round 70.
Because you're going to have it for a while. And you
what's
want.
What's round about 70, by the way?
Right. Round about 70. Gosh. But, all right. So we're going to, head out. If you would like to contact us and see some stories that don't make it onto the air, check out our Facebook and our Twitter pages. We are CarStuffHSW. Yeah, please give them a look. We're kind of funny, and you'll see some recent travels on there too if you visit the page. And let's see what else you can check out every episode that we've ever done on our website, carstuffshow.com. You can also talk to us directly. Take a page from Phil's book. If you have a suggestion, you have some feedback, you have a picture of a cool car, or you just want to say, hey, what's going on?
Just about anything.
Yeah, just about anything. I guess no bomb-making details or whatever legal disclaimer you usually hear, right?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. With limitations.
With limitations. I'm fine with limericks. I don't know if they're Scott's favorite.
Limericks are okay. Just use good sense.
Good sense.
Good common sense.
In your limerick judgment.
No, I mean overall.
If you want to send us an email, we'd love to hear from you. Our address is...
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.